What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional, and we are finishing up on Laban and Jacob, this whole animosity, strife, struggle between each other. This is the final step, and then we're going to go on to another famous, another huge passage, which is awesome. But no spoilers. I'm gonna wait on that. So if you haven't read yet what we're about to go through, Genesis 31, 43 through 32 and 1, then go ahead and check that out. See what it has to say. And then stop the tape, of course. And then come back, man. We'll answer the questions. If you have already read it, hey, look, let's go on. Let's get it. Let's jump into it, man. Let's get it down. So what's going on? What's happening, man? The first question, what's happening in the story? Well, Laban has to answer because Jacob has just spit all of this fire at him because of the way he has been treating him. You know, at a point in time, a brother got to say something, man, just to let that person know that they're wrong and that it isn't about me being angry. Though it said he burned with anger, man. And it said, and he rebuked Laban. He set the record straight before everybody, because sometimes that's got to be done. And so this is the answer that Laban comes back with. And guess what he says? Everything you see is mine. What in the world, dude? I tell you what, man, it's hard. It's hard sometimes. People got these blinders on, bro. And everything that they do, they think they do, they have all the power in the world. You know, you met people like that. You know people like that, man. And it's hard to deal with. And what do you do sometimes, man? You just got to close your mouth. You can't say nothing, man. But previously, Jacob tried to do his job in rebuking that brother so that he would understand that he is in the wrong in this situation from almost since he got to the place. It's funny to see how he was so happy to see him as he said, "You were bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." He's like, "You family, homie. We making a covenant right here that we would be together in this thing because I love you as a brother. You know what I'm saying? You're my daughter's son." And then now where we're at now, where he has changed his wages 10 times, where he has caused him to marry somebody he never intended to, and then taking all of his the fruit in which God was blessing him with, or at least trying to stop it. He couldn't stop the surge of love and abundant grace that's poured out by God. Nobody can do that. But this is the thing. This is the thing that Laban says after all of this crazy. I mean, I don't understand how he does this to him, but this is the thing. He says, "Everything that is before you is mine." He sounds like the Lion King. And the Lion King, he says, "Everything the sun touches is ours." It's like, bro, this is not true. This is what God has blessed Jacob with. The relationship they had from the very beginning seemed to be so loving and caring and it was going to be good, but it ended up in a way in which Laban can just take advantage of this brother. Take advantage of this brother. And so he says, "Man, you got my sons, you got my sons and my daughters, my grandsons and my daughters." He's like, "What will I do, man? What can I do?" He's like, "Come on, man. Let's covenant together. Let's make a covenant. Let's make a treaty. Let's have peace together, an everlasting covenant between me and you." And so what does Jacob do, man? He doesn't say a word. What he does is he just gets to work. He starts getting ready for this covenant to happen, man. He tells his man, he says, "Gather the stones." He says he places a stone himself as a pillar like he did at Bethel. And then he gathers a bunch of stones and sets them in a big heap in a pile to be remembered as well. And then he eats. He calls his men to eat. And that there is like the initiation of the covenant. That's what he does. He just goes ahead and gets ready to do it. And then they name the place. They give it a name for what the covenant would be. Now, what happens after that is Laban goes on and then he starts trying to explain what's going on in the covenant. He's like, "Man, we are making a covenant now that your God will watch over everything to make sure that we aren't hiding any kind of animosity towards each other. He's like that we aren't going to do anything bad to each other. And his brother talking about Jacob doing that. That's what's messed up. He's talking about Jacob doing that. And then he says that if you afflict or harm or mistreat my daughters, that God would be watching. If you take wives other than my daughters, then God would be watching to keep between me and you, this oath. He's like that this is what the treaty stands for, is that you wouldn't mistreat my daughters and you wouldn't go against my daughters. But as well, he says that you won't cross this boundary. So not only are these stones places of remembrance for the covenant, but they're also boundary markers. He says that you wouldn't cross this boundary to do evil against me, and I won't cross this boundary to do evil against you. He's like, let these stones be that symbol. Let them be the thing that reminds us not to do these things. And he says, and we do this by the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor. He says, if somebody does do wrong, let them judge between us. And it says, so after that, these are the words that he just swore oath. Jacob swore oath if that would be it. He's like, dude, I'm really done with this dude. It's not like I'm going to go back over there trying to harm him. I'm through with him. I'm done, man. He's like, yeah. So he swore oath, and he swore it by the dread or the fear of his father, Isaac. He says, and they built an altar and they sacrificed on it. And he called his brothers over to eat, and they ate. And so they initiated that covenant as well. And they stayed the night in the hills. And then the next day, Laban, he got up early, kissed his daughters and his grandsons, and he went back to his homeland. So what does this say about God? This was difficult, actually, to kind of see, in a sense, what it says about God because of all of the, like, the things of the covenant that's happening and taking place. But I think one thing that we can take from this is that Jacob says he swore by the dread of his father, Isaac, or by the fear of his father, Isaac. And I think I was reading in this article about it, that fear is because it is God who strikes fear into others. It's the God who causes fear to pour out when he does things. And so I think that just shows the power and the wonder and the mystique of God. He strikes fear in the hearts of those that they must follow. It's because he is so great. He is so mighty. And we see this when God spoke to Laban, told him not to touch Jacob. He didn't do it. You know why? He was afraid. Our God has that power. Our God has that strength. Let us rely on that. Let us see that. What's this say about man? Man, I think is saying that we should have grace. We should have mercy. We should show humility. And we should make peace. Those are very difficult things, man. But look at Jacob, man. Look at the life of Jacob. He is making peace with this man, a treaty, saying that he is not going to harm him, despite how great Jacob's family is probably going to be because of the power of God of already increasing his riches, man, increasing his power. That right now it stands to say that Jacob could probably be above Laban right now because of the wealth that God has blessed him with, the servants that God has blessed him with. Yeah, so it's not like Jacob is a weakling out there and going back home. No, man, he has increased heavily in wealth. And wealth is men as well. So he's got people that could take these guys out. So I don't think it's a far stretch to say that he would be able to go against Laban. But Jacob creates an environment for peace. Bro said, everything you see is mine. He's still, I think, man, maybe a little bit, he's trying to draw that anger back out at Jacob so he has some reason to strike against him. But Jacob, being a man of integrity, all he does is adhere to the request that Laban has for having this treaty. So how do we apply these truths to our lives, man? Be peacemakers. And I know it's difficult to be peacemakers. It is very difficult. We just talked at length about the things that happened that Laban did against Jacob, yet he still is going to be a peacemaker. So who do you have animosity with? Who are you striving and contending against? Who are you at battles constantly with? There was a lady at my work, and it was such a difficult time to deal with her. And it was incumbent upon me to be a person of peace to be able to handle that situation. At times, I had to break out like Jacob and say some things. But God grew me through that time to build patience and humility so that I could be a man of peace. Is God making you a man or a woman of peace? Let that be your heart. And then know, God, that is on your side to do this. God is there for you. He is striving with you. Let him lead you to the peace that is necessary to show the goodness of God in this world. I thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.